Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Pamela Latour from Spiritual Connections Radio. Our normal host, Mark Rawson, isn't available tonight. He might join us a little bit later. I'm usually the co-host of the show, so tonight I'm going to jump in as the host. We have a wonderful guest tonight who combines her corporate information technology experience, Fortune 100 corporate training career, life biz coaching, and real-life modern experience for a unique blend of wisdom, wit, fun, and pragmatism. She bolsters her audiences and clients with a new sense of hope and possibility, giving them a practical, simple strategy to bring the life that they desire into their experience one step at a time. Since 2008, our guest has done work for Dr. Mehmet and Lisa Oz's Health Corps organization, dedicated to improving teens' health and wellness with wonderful mentoring programs in high schools across the USA. In 2011, our guest founded and hosted the amazing Raising Conscious Kids Telesummit, featuring today's leaders and luminaries in raising healthy, happy, conscious kids, including the amazing Marianne Williamson, Sonia Coquette, and Matthew Ferry, and Sharon Wilson, to name just a few. I'd like to welcome to the show Kim Pragmatic.
Thank you, Pam. And I was just kind of jamming out to that music there, Dream, Dream, Dream. That was awesome. It's great to be on your show, and thanks to everyone for tuning in.
Well, thank you. We'd love to hear about your spiritual journey, Kim. How did a corporate IT gal with an MBA end up doing spiritual work, like the Raising Conscious Kids Telesummit?
Great question. But before we begin, I usually start out my talks with intentions. Would that be okay with you if I start out with my intention?
Lovely. I love it. Go ahead.
Oh, great. So my intention for tonight's call is to just surface up what may be holding folks back at an inner and an outer level, to activate some possibilities for some next steps for folks to take, and to activate the belief that it is possible to create a more joyful, more peaceful, and more enjoyable holiday season and upcoming year. My intention is to have some fun and that the highest good for all may be served.
That's lovely.
So you asked me
the Raising Conscious Kids Telesummit.
Yeah, so you asked me about my spiritual journey and how I came to be doing this work.
Right.
Well, when I was young, I kind of always knew that I'd go to college, which I did, and then when I went to college, I chose a major that would lead to a stable income. I didn't really consider things like fulfillment, long-term happiness, or a potential family life. Because I worked in the career planning and placement office for 4 years, and I basically knew everyone's starting salaries who graduated with job offers, because our director was awesome and she coordinated all the interviews and really guided the college seniors through the whole process of getting a job. So I chose information technology for two reasons, which is, number one, the money was good. And number two, I found computers fascinating, and that stimulated my analytical mind.
With
solving problems, debugging. I hear some reverb. Do you hear the reverb, Pam? Or is that just
I do hear it as well. No, I hear it as well.
Okay. Okay. Is it all right? Well, should I keep going? Is there anything we could do? Or
I think it's better now. Go ahead.
I think it's better now. Good. So I was saying, kind of sharing how I oh, there's back again. Well, I'll keep going until you tell me to stop, or hopefully it'll. Let's set the intention that it clears up and that technology is our friend.
Hello.
Okay. Hello.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Hey, yeah, I'm probably the cause of the reverb. I'm just going to make a quick statement, and then I'm going to back off and just listen. I apologize for everybody. I'm actually out in California right now at Esalon, and they have very limited technology, which is actually good for you since it's supposed to be a retreat. Bad if you're trying to host a radio show. I'm going to go ahead and drop off the call, and what I'll do is I'll be monitoring and I'll be running the switchboard and everything from behind the scenes. So I'll let you guys go in that, and that way you won't have any reverb coming in because that's actually echoing to me. So
welcome
to the show, Kim, and
thanks.
Pam, thanks for taking the lead for me this evening, and I wish everybody lots of love and light.
Thank you, Mark.
Same to you. Have a good retreat.
Yes.
We'll talk to you next week.
Okay.
Great.
Okay.
So let's go
great.
Back to how we got started.
I started out in IT, and I just loved solving problems and debugging, and I loved it, and I was skilled at it, and I had a couple job offers when I graduated because, you know, it was the 80s, and that's what I loved about the 80s, lots of job offers, and that big hair. I love that.
Yeah.
So I come from a long line of church folks, and my favorite Uncle Bill was a minister. My grandmother was the church organist for basically her whole life, and my mom was the choir director, so I was really steeped in the Christian tradition and faith. But one of my first spiritual teachers was actually Deepak Chopra. And a good friend at work actually bought a set of cassette tapes. Now, maybe some of our listeners have never seen a cassette tape before, but that's what we used to get before CDs. And
right.
I remember hearing his words and really feeling their truth, but having no idea how to integrate them into my life. I just remember listening and thinking, is it possible? But I knew my Bible, you know, from my youth, because I was a good girl and I memorized much of the Bible because we were told as kids we'd better memorize the Bible in case they took the Bibles all away someday.
Uh-huh.
Crazy, right? Anyway, I knew that what was possible for one was possible for many, so I figured I was part of the many and launched that rocket of desire there. So fast forward to my getting married and seemingly having it all by earthly standards. You know, we had just built a nice home. I was making the money that I had always intended, and I was an IT consultant. My boss was awesome. I had a nice commute, which is very rare for here in New Jersey. We had three nice cats. I bought a new Saturn coupe with my consulting money, so I wasn't requiring AAA road service several times a year anymore. And from the outside, my life looked awesome. But on the inside, that peace and joy that I knew some folks were experiencing was still eluding me. But I kept the hope. Then in 1977, I had my first child, my beautiful daughter, and that's what kicked my spiritual journey into high gear, because after my daughter was born, I had this pain in my right hip. And I went to several doctors, and I went to my massage therapist, and I got no relief. And it was when it got so bad I couldn't sit on the rocker to read my daughter a whole story, I was prompted to action. And I finally made an appointment to see the body worker from Los Angeles that came to the East Coast a couple times a year that I had been hearing so much about. And so in October of 1998, I met Patrick Collard. And so I don't know if you've ever met someone and you just knew that this was a divine connection, and that a quantum shift was waiting for you. And, well, that's how I felt when he opened the door. And standing there in his Armani suit, looking more like a movie star than this ethereal intuitive healer that my massage therapist had told me about. So I wondered, how did he know where my pain was without my telling him? How could he resolve the pain in an instant? In one 60-minute session with him, my body, mind, and spirit were reinvigorated, cleansed, and renewed. And the pain in my hip, well, that was gone. And what several docs had tried to, you know, remedy unsuccessfully for 18 months, it was gone in an instant. So that threw the doors open to my mind, and my mind was reeling, and my body was super happy, and it didn't take me long to set the intention to learn what he did and how he did it. Remember my belief from childhood that if it's possible for one, it's possible for many. So a few years later, I did the Patrick Collard 10-day apprenticeship program in Philadelphia, and it was transforming. And then the next year I did it again and transforming again. And since then, my next teacher and my next modality have just appeared. And one teacher at a time, I truly believe that when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And so I've studied and worked with some truly wonderful, talented, wonderful folks. And so it was during that time that I transitioned out of my IT career to stay-at-home mom with my daughter and planned to have another baby, which I did. And 4 years after my daughter was born, my handsome son was born. So I was doing all this self-development work, which for lack of a better term, I call it self-development work. And it was a natural transition that I began to teach it. Just so happens that one of my neighbors is a corporate trainer, and I would see her at the gym prepping for seminars with topics like managing your stress using humor and how to create work-life balance and how to get your kids to eat broccoli. Well, that last one might have been called something else, but you get the idea. And that's how this new career unfolded for me quite naturally. I remember getting some body work done, and the woman gave me the message, "Your work will reach around the globe." Well, she was so excited, but I was thinking, "Lady, you may have given me the map, but I have no idea how to get to where you're talking about." But I took heed, and I picked up two pretty pictures of TJ Maxx with nice pictures of the Earth in pretty brown frames, and I hung them in my office. And a couple of years went by, and still no global reach, but I still thought the pictures were pretty. And then both James Von Prague and Sonia Choquette, who I've worked with personally, in different years said the same words to me. And they said, "You're a clear channel. You're going to teach this stuff." And I was like, ah. I had no idea what they were talking about either. So I kept on doing what I was doing my corporate trainings, enjoying my family more and more each year because of all my personal growth work. And the need to give folks even more support than, you know, a monthly lunch and learn seminar kind of moved me to my next work of coaching folks in groups and then eventually coaching one-on-one. And then the invitations began. Would you co-host a spiritual retreat with me? Would you develop a custom program for my organization? And my thoughts were twirling around, and I didn't know where or how to begin. The invitations were coming, and I didn't know what to do exactly. And that's when I hired my own coach. And so during the time you asked about the Raising Conscious Kids Telesummit, during that time I did a lot of work with and for children and in my community. And as part of my own personal development work, I discovered that, you know, much of our conditioning, which is, you know, our thoughts and our beliefs about money, our thoughts and beliefs about ourselves and relationships and the world, that comes from our first 8 years of life. And it starts before we're born. So it really kicked my spiritual journey into serving kids into high gear as well. And I really wanted to be as conscious a mom and, you know, community members I could be at any given moment. So I followed my heart. Yeah, thanks. And so I followed my heart and created the Raising Conscious Kids Telesummit, and where, by the way, I said in my prayers, "Okay, I will do all the legwork for this, but I really, really, really would love to have Marianne Williamson to be one of my speakers." That was kind of my request. Yeah, I sent it out. And no, I didn't know her. I met her once at an I Can Do It convention in the airport in Florida. But, you know, I didn't know her. And it was a couple days later, I got an email because she had said when I met her, she said, oh, you know, sometimes I come to New York, you know, get on my mailing list so you can keep in touch. So I got an email a couple days later that she was coming like a couple towns over. And I said, okay, thank you. I'm on board. So that was kind of the impetus for the Raising Conscious Kids Telesummit. And so what I found, and it was a wonderful, wonderful experience, and actually interviewing Marianne was really remarkable. She talked about the role of parent as a spiritual guide, and it was really one of the highlights of my career.
Wonderful.
I remember her saying our career is something that is revealed to us as we pay attention, and that's what I found.
Lovely. So tell me, Kim, the Raising Conscious Kids Telesummit, for our audience, maybe not everyone knows exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain to us?
Sure. It was a venue where I chose the folks that had an impact in my life and that I felt were helping me create, you know, a well-rounded family, and going to a deeper level, too. I mean, I can train, and I do train on, you know, the surface issues, and those are very meaningful and, you know, pragmatic and everything, but I like to go deeper. So I got people like, you know, Sonia Choquette, who's, you know, a wonderful spiritual teacher, a Hay House author and speaker, and, you know, Marianne Williamson, you know, just wonderful folks, just to really help people. You know, my intention was to, you know, create a format and a forum for folks to really get support, parents, teachers, caregivers, to get support in raising healthy, happy, conscious kids.
How wonderful. Mm. Well, tonight, we're so grateful that you're going to help our listeners create a more joyful holiday experience. Would you start by telling us about the most common challenges that you see folks having today around the holidays?
Sure. Well, I see the holidays as a kind of a jacked-up version of regular life. And why? Well, we don't get to stop working during the holidays or quit going to school and doing homework or helping our kids with their school projects or driving our kids to their sports or activities. We don't really want to stop our activities that we do for fun either. And P.S., if you can't think of anything that you've done for fun lately, then that's another discussion that we can have. But the point is our regular activities and schedules continue, and then we add the additional tasks that we do around the holidays. We shopping, decorating, baking, volunteering, maybe creating a custom holiday card from some of your favorite photos. Maybe you or someone in your family has a special holiday performance that you're in, like dancing in the Nutcracker or singing in the Messiah like I do. The point is our regular lives don't stop or really slow down during the holidays, and then we add all these extra things on top. No wonder people are stressed, including our kids. So I would say the main stressor that I hear around the holidays has to do with time. And so I hear folks saying like, "Ah, oh, starting before Thanksgiving, I feel rushed and frantic. It seems to be getting worse," or "my boss has given me the jobs of three people that have been let go, and I'm doing their work and my work for my same pay, and I don't feel appreciated, and I don't know how to begin to find time to shop for gifts, let alone decorate or cook." And then I might hear some folks, you know, expressing their feeling of rushing around during the holidays and rushing to complete year-end projects, rushing to shop, rushing to decorate, rushing to buy that toy before it sells out. It's just a rush, rush, rush. And so what happens to these folks on a practical level is, well, they might lash out at their spouse or their kids, maybe even their dog, and they may oftentimes find it difficult to sleep. There's a whole seminar that I've done on sleep, a one-hour seminar on how to help people sleep. You know, it's a big challenge in this country, I know. I don't know about other countries. And they may find themselves complaining more than usual. And once we know the principles of the law of attraction, we know what complaining brings us, more of the same, right? And then these folks can end up feeling tired or maybe even exhausted, and with the hectic pace and the lack of sleep, and folks can feel sad, like they're feeling they're failing their families, like, why is it so hard?
Wow. Well,
I'm kind of feeling the stress listening to all of this. Of course, we all go through it. And running through it like that, it makes it crystal clear. So,
yeah.
So what other kind of challenges do we face other than stress? Stress level seems like a big one. What else?
Stress is
a
biggie. The other biggie right now is money, right? Especially in this economy, right? Mm-hmm. So I hear folks saying, like, oh, I don't have the money that I'd like to spend on gifts this year, and it looks like there won't be as many presents under the tree this year. In this economy, I really don't know how much money I should spend. Should I dip into my savings? Should I take out a loan? Should I call Susie Orman? What should I do? And so what happens with these folks on a practical level is, well, we know that money troubles can be a huge stressor for folks, right? And I mean, I don't know anyone who hasn't been exempt from this life, this particular life lesson around money. And even the most successful person today, if you look back far enough, there's probably a feeling of lack at some point. And my husband and I just went into New York to see a taping of The Daily Show with Jon Stewart last month, and the guest was J.K. Rowling, so we were there with all the kids. It was awesome.
Wonderful.
She is one of the wealthiest people in the world, I believe, and she was so great and so humble, and she was talking about, it wasn't that long ago, that she was on what's called benefits in the U.K., which is like our welfare. She said she was one step away from being a homeless woman with her, I believe, three kids. J.K. Rowling. Right? Yeah. So I don't think, I haven't ever met anyone that's been exempt from this life lesson. And what we see is, you know, disagreements about money and finances are the number one thing that couples fight about, right? And the divorce rate in the U.S. is still around 50%, and that's a lot of strife over money.
I know, especially around Christmas, because there's such a pressure to buy, to buy, to buy. And especially
consumerism.
When you have children. Yes.
Yeah.
Especially children, because then there's another whole standard set. It's not, you know, if you don't have children and you're just buying for extended family and things, adults understand, but kids
mm-hmm.
don't.
Sure. Yeah, we're going to talk more about that. So then you add all the expectation of the holidays, and, well, you get the picture. We've all read enough about the effects of stress and, more importantly, long-term stress can have on the body and the mind. So what kind of feelings can ensue when we're stressed about money? Well, feelings of frustration, helplessness, hopelessness, feelings of failure. What else do you see, Pam, around money?
I think it's a general conditioning of lack. You know, especially a lot of us grew up in situations where there was a lot of talk from parents about not having enough. And you
mm-hmm.
grow up in that, and it's conditioned. You know, your body remembers everything. So
mm-hmm.
it's sort of a conditioned impulse in your body to generate, I don't have the money for that, I can't afford that.
Yeah.
And so I think that probably the biggest stress is the lack, is the conditioning of lack in our,
mm-hmm.
in our bodies, our lives. And that's why it keeps coming back up again.
Yeah. Yep. I totally agree that, you know, we don't have enough. And another one is, you know, you have to work hard for your money. And, you know, money doesn't grow on trees. That's all the conditioning that once I figured out all those things that I heard as a kid, I was like, oh, I have to be careful here to watch my words around my kiddos. We're creating their realities here. We're co-creating at least their conditioning. And yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
So
you know, just last night I want to share with you, I was watching part of one of my new favorite shows on TV, and it's called The Middle. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
Well, it's a comedy about family life, really. And I just started watching it this season. I think it was at least on last season. But I just find the writing and the acting excellent. And there are three kids living with their mom and dad. And, well, they live in the middle. And last night was kind of relevant to our talk today. Because last night, the mom, Frankie, was telling her husband, Well, I paid the minimum on all the credit cards, and I didn't sign the backs of any of the checks, so that should give us an extra couple weeks of, or so of cash. And altogether, for our Christmas shopping, we have about $20. And now, yeah, I'm glad you're laughing because, you know, when I say it out loud, it kind of sounds sad, but somehow she's, you know, a brilliant comedic actress, so Patricia Heaton, so it's pretty funny. But the truth is, this holiday, many folks won't have as much money as they once did, and you know, and also on the Northeast, you know, with the ravages of Superstorm Sandy, some of the folks here have lost their second homes.
That's true.
Now that's a joke. That's my attempt at comedy because they lost their second home. So when people say that to me, I'm like, "Oh, you lost your second home? Okay." I mean, it's still sad, but you know, but you know, the real tragedy is, you know, some folks lost their only home and their businesses, and you know that this is a holiday season where they're rebuilding. And. And, you know, talk about an opportunity to really dig deep on the meaning of the holidays. You know, that's it, right?
Yeah. That's true. So, you know, as far as stress goes, there's money stress, there's time stress, but also, Kim, tell me what you think about extended family stress. I don't know if you live around your extended family, but... like mother-in-laws, for example, or people that are coming over to your house in large quantities. You know?
Are you going to have a house full this season, Pam?
I always do. I have 5 children. So I have, and some of them are grown up and some of them aren't. But it's not so much my children that have a problem. And we generally have less drama than most, I think, in this house.
I'm sure.
But
yeah.
I know for a fact that there's a lot of people that suffer stress because they have people coming into their house that maybe necessarily don't have a very clean flow, that are there because they want to judge things, or they want to criticize, or they're in a mode that isn't real wonderful, clean, loving energy.
Sure.
How would you suggest we handle that kind of a situation?
That is a great question. We're going to handle that. I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. Can we put a pin in that and talk about that later?
Sure, of course.
Great.
Of course. Well, we were okay, talking about stresses then on time, on money. Is there anything else that you can think of that comes up in your world in terms of the holidays?
Sure.
Challenges?
Yes. Well, the third trend I'm seeing is what I'm calling, who stole my holiday mojo? Yeah. And I'm hearing folks, you know, see if you've heard in any of these things, Pam. I'm hearing things like people say, oh, I remember when the kids were little and Christmas was such a magical time with Santa and flying reindeer and all, and now that they're older, it's just not as much fun. Or you know, some people were kind of whisper to me, I hate that I'm not even looking forward to the holidays this year, and I'd rather fast forward to January 5th and save all the hassle. I mean, people actually say that out loud to me. People tell me everything, Pam.
Wow.
And with the holiday season beginning at Halloween now, you know, up here in New Jersey, we have, you know, Christmas trees at big box stores. And, you know, there's all the more time for that holiday angst to brew, right?
That's true. Yeah. Right now, I was talking about Jon Stewart. I was listening to Jon Stewart the other day, and he was saying that Christmas has swallowed up Thanksgiving, and pretty soon it'll swallow up Halloween.
He's so awesome. And can I tell you that... I didn't know what to expect. You know, I've never been to, well, it's been many years since I was at a live taping of a show. And it's in this warehouse kind of building. Oh, now I can't remember where it is, in Manhattan. But it's not like on the main thoroughfare. It's kind of in more of a not a residential district. I don't know. There's no stores there or anything. It's kind of off by itself. So we walked in, and it was a beautiful set. And he came out, and he talked to the audience. He just took questions for like half an hour. He is hysterical. Oh, my goodness. He's a riot. So,
Sounds like a good time.
Yeah, so we're talking about this, the, you know, swallowing, Christmas swallowing things up, and, you know, I think it's led by the consumerism and all that, and what happens to these folks who really have lost their holiday mojo? Well, you know, they might decide to just skip Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever tradition they celebrate, and just try to skip it all together, like the Grisham novel, Skipping Christmas, you know, but...
Right.
For folks who have lost all or part of their holiday mojo, how do they feel? Well, if you put yourself in that position just for a moment, how would you feel if you were totally not into the holiday spirit? I mean, you have five kids, so obviously you're in the holiday spirit. But imagine if you weren't. I mean, there are a lot of folks that feel this way. And how would you feel when everywhere you see reminders like holiday ads on TV wanting you to buy this or that, or, you know, decorations all over. You know, they start on Halloween now, so that's October, November, December, 3 full months of holiday decor. You know, we get more catalogs in the mail. We have TV and radio talking about the holidays. Now we have emails talking about the holidays, filling our inboxes, you know. I mean, how would you feel, Pam, if you totally didn't have your holiday mojo?
Well, I completely get that. You know, there's so many of us, too, that don't have big families, that are sort of on our own. And when you're in that situation, it must feel even more lonely when you see ads everywhere with big families and the turkey and the ham on the table and the warmth and the love of Christmas. And you feel like, for whatever reason, either you have a family that you don't feel that from, or you don't have the family with you.
Mm-hmm.
It must be really tough.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, let's see. This is 9:30, and at 9:30, I'm supposed to follow Mark's little routine here.
Go, Pam! Woohoo!
He talks about Spiritual Connections Radio, and you can listen to this later again, this radio show, or any of our other shows at www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And this is Pamela Latour, your host for this evening. Mark Rawson is not with us tonight, but we'll be back next week. Now, we are with tonight Kim Pramatic, who is talking about the holidays and giving us some tips on how to have a wonderful holiday season. Now, what do you say to folks about the time, the money, and if they've lost their holiday mojo? Is there really any hope? What can we do?
Ah, great question, Pam. Thanks for asking. So is it okay if I share, you know, how I work with folks and my system, my solutions?
Please, I'd love to hear it.
Okay, great. Well, I want to invite everybody to grab a pen and paper so that you can take some notes here if you'd like. And plus, I'm going to be sharing a special link with you that I'll tell you about later on where you can get some goodies. Okay, so here's what I do with folks. First, I help you to identify where you are now. And that's, what stories are you telling yourself about the time, the money, the personal meaning for you around this holiday season? You know, sometimes, like we were talking about before, sometimes that comes back to, you know, the conditioning, and these things keep appearing, right? And so I really encourage folks to take some time and surface those up, and then you can see if those things are serving you, those beliefs, those thought patterns, are those stories serving you? Are they making you happy, or are they adding to your stress? And it's important to see where you are now. I mean, I know it can be painful to see where you are now. But believe me when I tell you that this is a critical piece of the puzzle, because too often folks gloss over things or feel like they have to put up a front or ignore those credit card bills and kind of like burying their heads in the sand. But, hey, many of us have been there. You know, it's true. But even putting up that front can take a great energetic toll. So what I've seen over and over again in my corporate work as well as my coaching practice and in my own life is we simply must take an honest look at where we are now. And we probably won't be at the radical acceptance of the present moment unless we're Eckhart Tolle, but that's okay. And why is it important to see where you are now? Well, first of all, to come to terms with it. And from there, you can make a conscious choice to maybe do something a bit different, chart a new course, or just improve on what you're already doing. And then what's the result? Well, you start to see that you have options. You can choose. Maybe you want to dig a little deeper and create a magical holiday for you and your family, irrespective of the amount of money that you spend. Then I help you get clear on all the aspects for your goal for this holiday season to arrive at some real clarity. What's your goal as a family? You know, I like to use the team approach, really creating your team from your family. Your family is your team, and I'm so passionate about this concept. That's what I talked about on the Raising Conscious Kids Telesummit. I just love the idea that each one of our families can be its own team and is its own team. And both of my kids are athletes, so I've really learned a lot about it over the years. And I'd like to give you an example of what I mean here, if that's okay.
Sure, I'd love to hear it.
Okay, a friend of mine's mother-in-law was known for her holiday cookies. She made dozens and dozens and dozens of holiday cookies, hundreds of cookies, and lots of different varieties. And the thing was, through the years, she had grown to resent all the time it took her. You know, she was getting older. You know, she just wanted to relax a little bit, but she felt obligated to make these cookies, you know. So she's baking up a storm while everyone else is kind of, you know, hanging back, kicking back and enjoying themselves and doing other things. So finally, my friend, who's wise, asked her about it, you know, just quite frankly. And her mother-in-law admitted that, no, she really didn't enjoy making so many cookies anymore. And, yeah, she did feel obligated. And so she still continued to make all those cookies. But the truth is she was resenting it. And so with that clarity, with that open communication, with that, you know, kind of opening that channel way, they made a new goal. They hatched a new plan. And, you know, for the last couple of years now, each of her, I think she has 10 grandchildren, get to help grandma make some cookies. They each have their assigned cookies, and it's a thing now. Now grandma's happy. Each of the kids is happy. You know, they're making, you know, they've learned something with their grandmother. They have that special time together. And now they get to eat cookies that were made with love and joy instead of resentment. And so that's why clarity is important, because it's then that you know what you want to achieve, and then you could set your sails in a new direction. And with that clarity, you can then prioritize and focus your energy and begin defining what needs to be done. Then
I
next,
see.
Yeah.
So if I can stop you for just a second.
Sure.
What you're basically saying, Kim, is that traditions are lovely, but often we get trapped in our own traditions because they become mandatory based on what we've always done without evaluation. Is that it?
Exactly.
And so once you look at it and, you know, once you see through this belief that you've created that this has to happen this way because it's always been that way, then once you see it, you can generate a new tradition and create it in a different way and bring other people on board to really have it be a tradition, a new tradition.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure I had it the way that I had it clear in my mind.
You sure do. And so then once we have the clarity, so we see where we're at, right? And then,
right.
You know, then there's an action plan.
Okay.
So next, I help you create an action plan. And that's important so that you could really start to see the path to accomplishing this goal that you've consciously and intentionally laid out with your family. And with a plan, right, and with that clarity and with a plan, you can relax a bit more and focus on each step, knowing that you're on track to creating the holiday experience that you desire.
Mm-hmm.
Now, since we have a limited amount of time today, and since I'm really in the midst of the holiday gift-giving feeling, I was guided to prepare a special holiday gift for our listeners to further support everyone.
Wow. All right. That sounds wonderful. Mm-hmm. We really appreciate you taking the time in the middle of your own holiday season to do this for us. Can you tell us about it?
I sure can. Well, I would like to be among the first to give you a holiday gift this season, and I'm putting together a package for our listeners to further support them in creating their best holiday ever. And we're including my best holiday ever ebook. I'm just creating it now. It came out of this effort here, so it's definitely a co-creation here. And it's really a mini ebook because I like things that are quick and concise. You know, what's the bottom line here? How can I do this fast?
Right.
And in it, we're including the opportunity to delve even deeper on what we covered today on the show. And so we're going to include an exercise to help you see where you are now. Like, what
uh-huh.
stories are you telling yourself about the holidays, about your ability as a mom, as a dad, as a, you know, as a daughter, as a son, as a teacher, as a spouse? An exercise to help you get clarity around your goal for the holidays. And remember the story I just shared about Grandma and the cookies, right? You want clarity.
Right.
And
right.
next, we help you create a family action plan to create a magical, meaningful holiday season, whatever that means for your family, right? And you know, you kind of mentioned, you know, what about, you know, extended visitors and everything. Well, that comes in with, you know, and it's funny because I was thinking about adding, I just had made a note today. I wanted to add something, some strategies. So, see, that's why this gift isn't done yet. I keep adding things to it. I want to share.
Well, good.
But I'm adding, so based on that, I think I'll add some strategies for effective communication, right? Because that's really what it is when we talk about, you know, extended relatives that we might only see once a year, right? It's not that we don't want to see them. We just want to have, you know, nice, clear boundaries and, you know, what's acceptable. You know, you can have some house rules. You can set some ground rules for your home. You know, if you're not a smoker, let's say, and, you
right.
know, Uncle Leon is a smoker, well, you're going to have a conversation with him like, it's not something we do in our home. And here I made this spot for you way out here in the backyard to smoke, or, you know, please put your cigarette in this ashtray or whatever, you know. So it's just, you know, it's all about coming from that place of where are we, you know, because – you know, it is what it is, and that's one of my favorite sayings. It is what it is. So are we going to change these relatives that we see once a year?
No.
No, we're not going to change them. And I think it's the banging our heads against the wall, expecting them to change, that expectation that gets us into trouble, right? That's the root of the suffering. The suffering is in us. Let's just let it be what it is. But then the clarity with your family, because, you know, those of us with families, if we're having other people coming into our homes, we need to really get together and say, okay, you know, here's who's coming. Let's come up with a plan. What's our strategy here? And, you know, the more we can get that open dialogue, the more we can get our action plan, then the happier and more peaceful our holiday season will be.
Well, that sounds lovely. So,
I have more.
This little ebook that you're generating, if you could, excuse me for just a second, this little ebook that you're generating will be exercises in communication, finding out where you are, the action and the action plan as
mm-hmm.
to how to make things get better. If I'm just sort of summarizing here.
Yeah.
And then. There was something else you said. I guess the communication to clarify with
yeah.
extended family and other people that might be around you during the Christmas holidays,
to keep the drama down and the love up.
Oh, I love that. Keep the drama down and the love up. I love that. I'm writing that down, Miss Pam.
Okay, you can put it in your ebook.
I'll cite you. What's that called? I'll ask my daughter. She's doing some research now. Put a
wonderful
little, like, put your picture at the bottom or something. Keep the drama down and love up. That could be a thing, Pam. That could be a thing, I think. We could get t-shirts for the holidays. Keep the drama down and love up.
Let me ask you another question, Pam. In Christmas time, rituals are always important to humanity, I believe.
Mm.
Little rituals, like little habits, send some sacred impulse, if you will.
Mm.
Little habits like lighting a candle for someone who has passed on.
Mm.
Or little rituals like whenever you open your Christmas presents, for example, the night before Christmas or the morning of Christmas, depending what you believe in, Santa Claus and children,
mm-hmm.
and all that sort of thing.
Hanukkah Joe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
These little rituals, I think, become even more important during the holidays.
Yeah.
How would you suggest... do you have any little rituals that you would suggest that we could make this holiday a little more sacred?
I love that. I love that. Well, it goes back to, you know, checking in with yourself, and
mm-hmm.
if you're living with a family, with your family. Right? What's important? Because, you know, kids today, you know, the reason I called it the Raising Conscious Kids Telesummit is kids today are different. You know, like their BS meter is, you know, goes off way faster than mine did when I was little. You know, like.
Now I like that, the BS meter.
You know, but it's true, isn't it? They're so brilliant and so sensitive, and you know that brings a host of other things. I spoke with Sunny Dawn Johnston, who's just a wonderful gal out in Arizona, and she works a lot with children and sensitive children and connecting them with her angels, and we just had a wonderful talk, and she sees a lot of diseases that we see, ADHD, you know, different forms of autism, like different things that are going on at an increased rate now, right, with our kids. She sees a lot of them as they're just energetically just wide open, and so they're susceptible to these different things, and so she works with them to bring them, I don't want to say more functioning, but, you know, just to make their lives easier. You know what I mean? Just to make the road easier for them. And she's had great success. So I think it all depends on, our own families. You know,
mm-hmm.
I think it's just a matter of communicating. Like, so what I did as a kid, for instance, as a ritual, you know, I didn't necessarily bring that forward into my own life. Like, some of my favorite things are, you know, my husband reads to my kids every year. He reads the same story, and if we have time at the end, I'm going to share a little bit of that. And, you know, that's one of our holiday traditions, you know, and that doesn't cost any money. We bought a book 15 years ago, you know, and different things like that. Like, what brings meaning for you? You know, what brings meaning for you? Like, I like to go to church. I sing in the choir. And this year, you know, we're going to light the Advent candle, you know, as a family. Like, that's a new tradition. I'm just starting it this year, you know. So
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, that costs no money either, right? But it's something that we can do and, you know, so I just think that, you know, once we set the intention, the universe brings about what we're asking for. You know, as long as we stay open, and it's about really talking with your family about what is meaningful for you, right?
I think that's true. What were you saying about sharing a little bit of your husband's reading with us?
Oh, yeah. How are we doing on time? Let's see. Oh, we're pretty good. Okay. So I just wanted to mention a couple other things that are in the gift and tell folks how to get it. We're including an article I wrote a couple of years back for some talks that I did, and it's called Five Simple Steps to Prevent Holiday Stress, and it's just a quick read and gives you some good strategies on staving off the holiday stress. And also I'd like to share with you my most meaningful holiday gifts that I've received from my kids through the years. So you can, if you choose, recreate it within your own family, you know, if you'd like. And like I said, this is my all-time, so talk about a tradition. This is my all-time favorite gift ever. And it doesn't cost a lot of money at all. And so I'm working with my husband to give folks the tools to recreate this gift for your own families, and it'll be especially awesome for grandparents. And so it's kind of cool because this is a gift, you know, this is a gift for me. It's a gift for me, but also for my husband, and then, you know, my kids, now that they're older, they enjoy it. And what it is just real quickly, is I took the advice of Harville Hendricks, who wrote the Getting the Love You Want book, and uh-huh. I decided to ask for what I wanted for Christmas, which once I had kids, you know, everything shifted for me. I mean, did you find that, Pam?
Absolutely.
Yeah, everything shifts. Like, you know, it's not about the money. It's not about, you know, it's about family. And so, you know, the 80s are gone, so what I really wanted was I just had this inspiration, this idea. I wanted a recording every Christmas of my kids. And so it started out when my daughter was a baby, and, you know, there was just little sounds, and then she was one, and it was like, mama, dada, dado, and that was
scary.
So, yeah, and, you know, ba for ball, and then it was, you know, my daughter reciting the Sneetches when she was three. She did it all from memory. It was so cute. The Playberry Sneetches said none upon dogs. It's so cute. And then it was my son singing the Power Rangers song. And then they graduated to my daughter recording the songs that she had written herself and my husband arranged. And they always keep this a surprise for me. And so, you know, especially with those songs, without those recordings, those songs would have never come to fruition. You know, they would have been lost in that child mind. They would have been gone. So, you know, it's so meaningful for me. And it's a CD, you know. And mm-hmm. so my husband's gifted at recording. So we're finding a way to kind of portal that to make it easy for folks and inexpensive. And, you know, it's not... We found that with video, we just don't drag that out. You know, you have hours and hours of video, but this is a CD, and so now I have 15 years. Every year I get a new one with another track, and so I can listen at any time to, you know. So if I need an attitude adjustment, I just pop in one of my favorite Pramatic Family Christmas CDs in the car, and it just lifts me right up, and it gives me a perspective on how precious time is, and why it's so important to appreciate each and every day. And so those are some of the things that you'll get with the gift. And let me give the website, right? I didn't even tell anybody
Absolutely.
How to get it. Okay.
Yeah.
So to receive this gift, just jump over to my website. It's www.raisingconsciouskidstelesummit.com/gift. And let me spell that out for everybody. It's the longest URL ever. Some people are parking on the websites that I want, but that's okay. This is here. It's www.raising, R-A-I-S-I-N-G, conscious, C-O-N-S-C-I-O-U-S, kids, K-I-D-S, telesummit, telesummit.com/gift, G-I-F-T. And then go ahead and put your name and email in there. And then as soon as this gift collection is complete, we will email that out to you. And hopefully Mark can put that on the website, since this is quite a mouthful of a URL. And maybe he could put that on the radio show info. I'm sure he'll do that for us.
I'm sure he'll do it. Yeah, no problem.
Thanks, Mark.
And again, this is Blog Radio, and this is Spiritual Connections Radio. So that would be www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And you can listen to this show again anytime. You can get the information from Kim again on the radio show and on the website. Mark will post it so that you can go and receive this lovely gift from Kim Pramatic. Now, is there anything, in finishing, Kim, is there anything you'd like to talk about to finish up with? Any last remarks about making your holidays wonderful?
Sure, yeah. Thanks, Pam, and thanks so much for having me tonight. And I would just like to say that it's my intention to really support you to create an even more meaningful and substance this holiday season, and to support you in having a plan to create a magical holiday season and new year. And then when you have a plan in place and you're moving forward, you know exactly what to do, and all you have to focus on is one step at a time, feeling more organized, more confident, more peace, and more joy. And more importantly, almost, you're creating a blueprint for your family, for your children, and their families for years to come. And that's what it's really all about, isn't it? It's not about the stuff. It's not about the stuff. It's about the meaning that we create and imbue into our holiday traditions and the new traditions that we allow to emerge and that we create and what we consciously create for ourselves and our families.
Absolutely. You know, I think you said it all right there. You summed it up beautifully. I think, to add to that, I think that Christmas is creating a sacred life. Creating memories for your children and creating love in your world and remembering to be grateful.
Yeah.
Most people is being kind to yourself because when there is stress, when there is lack of money or issues from time or issues from people that are purposely putting stress on you or drama, whatever the issues are, the first thing that has to happen is to not kick yourself. Don't you agree?
Yes. Yeah, let go. That was a huge lesson. Actually, I really learned that lesson to the nth degree this year. Let go of the judgment, right? That was a big one for me. Let go of the judgment. And so, so if there's not enough money this year, if there's not as much money this year, let go of the judgment around that. You know, let go of the judgment. It is what it is. And you can still create, you know, a meaningful holiday experience. I truly believe that, or I wouldn't be talking about it here tonight.
Oh, that's lovely. Thank you so much for being with us tonight, Kim.
And you're welcome.
Mark Rawson will be back with us next week. And again, you're listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. And you could reach us at www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And you can reach Kim at www.raisingconsciouskidstelesummit.com/gift to receive this beautiful ebook that she's created for us. Thank you so much, Kim.
You're welcome. And I'd just like to say in closing, I'm seeing each and every one of you living a life of joy, peace, hope, and prosperity, and sending my best wishes to you, Pam, and to everyone for a blessed holiday season and a wonderful new year.
Oh, that's lovely. Thank you so much for being on the show tonight, Kim.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you.
And we'll see Mark Rawson next week. I'm your co-host, Pamela Latour, and your host this week. And we've been with Kim Pramatic.